Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
I don't suck. Well, I suck less than you. That's unfortunate.
Hour number three, Danny and Dusty. It's Ordner and Dusty, and he's going to have his own drop page by the end of the show.
That's a shame. Yeah. I mean, it might beat the I don't have a dinger, which is an unfortunate drop.
Sure is, Bob.
I will have to do my hip thrust game for the camera. Mm.
Ooh.
That's right. I never, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to hip thrust, but no DX.
Degeneration X.
Yeah. Yep. I couldn't hip thrust because no Degeneration X.
A big weekend of college football. Obviously, number two, Ohio State, coming into Eugene for number three, Oregon. It's crazy to see Nick Saban sitting on the field of Autzen Stadium with Pat McAfee. That was a weird sight today. McAfee hosted a show from the sideline, and Nick Saban in Autzen Stadium was weird to me. It was a weird sight.
When all the rest of his cronies were back in the studio.
Yeah, McAfee's, yeah.
Yeah, he always does it that way but, during college football season.
Yeah, this is a huge week for the Oregon Ducks, Ohio State Buckeyes, and college football weekend. If you have to go to a wedding, I'm very sorry. It's a big weekend.
I did mine last week.
Friend of the program, Tyson Alger.
Wedding?
I-5 corridor. No. He did the Lord's work. He wrote an article yesterday talking to a wedding planner about why people do this.
Why people get married?
During football season.
Oh, I was like...
Why are you doing this during the biggest football weekend of the season? Kind of an approach here. So good stuff from Tyson on the I-5 corridor, doing the Lord's work for us. But it's a big weekend outside of Oregon and Ohio State. Some of these games have lost a lot of their luster as the season has gone on. It's really hard to win football games. Teams stub their toes. That's what the incredible part about Oregon and Ohio State. Say what you want about the games before them, but we've seen good teams lose to inferior opponents over the course of the season. They come into this one undefeated, and that's all you could ask for. You got the Red River rivalry this weekend. Texas, number one team in the land, taking on number 18 Oklahoma. Longhorns are 14.5-point favorites in that game.
Yeah, in a game that it's what, 8 out of the last 10 have been decided by one score. And honestly, I feel like the spread should be higher, but the only reason it isn't is because Ewers is coming off an injury. Like, if Ewers is healthy, doesn't miss two games, is it a 17-point spread?
No, because Arch played really damn well, and they just have a wealth of talent.
Fair. I mean, they're really good, and Oklahoma has no offense. Nothing.
They really don't. They really don't. They're in a tough spot at Oklahoma. In that game, like you mentioned this at the beginning of the show, is that the third best game of the weekend? It could be the fourth best game of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got number 9, Ole Miss, heading to Baton Rouge, taking on the 13th-ranked LSU. That is going to be a fun one.
That's going to be... It's unfortunate that it's the same time as the Oregon-Ohio State game. Hopefully you have multiple TVs in your house, because you should have both of those on.
And every game for both of these teams is looked at and viewed as an eliminator, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's college football playoff eliminator. Both these teams have suffered a loss so far this year. LSU seems to be getting back on on track, even though they struggled the first half against UCLA a couple of weeks ago. They mopped the floor with South Alabama. Now they got Ole Miss. They have zero margin for error with A&M, Bama, and Oklahoma still looming on their schedule. And for Ole Miss, I mean, their schedule, it's they didn't have room for error to begin with, and they lost to Kentucky.
Right.
You lose that game to Kentucky, they have this game, Oklahoma, Georgia remaining on their schedule.
Arkansas.
This game's an eliminator, though.
Right. Well, and the Arkansas game looks tougher and tougher each week.
Yeah, I'm talking for resume boosters. If for a college football playoff berth, like I like elimination games for the playoff.
Yeah.
This is it right here.
It's happening.
Two losses, going to be real tough for either one of these teams.
Yeah. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, LSU at night, that's a tough place to play.
Death Valley.
Even in a down year, and this isn't a down year, I don't think. Now, they might not be a playoff team, the Tigers, but they're good enough that they're going to beat someone, and this Ole Miss might be the someone that they beat. Ole Miss, I'd make the argument, has to have this game more than LSU. Because LSU has some other games on the schedule where even if they're a two-loss team, maybe they can sneak back in. Ole Miss has this game, and then they have Oklahoma that people don't really think is that good, and then you have Georgia. I don't know that a two-loss Ole Miss team gets in with a loss to Kentucky and a loss to Georgia.
Yeah. Another game that has intrigue, but again, really hard to win games and stay unblemished. USC has lost their second game of the year, and
probably
they have a gauntlet still to go through. They host number 4 Penn State, and the Nittany Lions, only 3.5-point favorites heading to the Coliseum.
Who do you think needs it more as a head coach, Riley or Franklin?
Because
I think it's Franklin.
But these are the games... These are the games that James Franklin wins.
Because they're just good enough?
Yeah. They don't beat elite opponents. They beat teams that are good. They beat teams that are very good. They don't win against great teams. And that's like...
Right.
Look, that's one of the most intriguing parts of the Ohio State-Oregon game, too, is that it's going to be wildly unfair criticism for either coach, but... Whoever loses this game is going to be like, Bob, see, can't win the big one.
Right.
It's like Dan Lanning's in year 3. Ryan Day has won a lot of really big games. It was a missed field goal away from beating the eventual national champion in Georgia in a college football playoff semifinal game. Like, there's going to be the sweeping generalizations on both of the coaches Saturday in Eugene. And I think you're going to see if Lincoln Riley loses this one. I think we start hearing that Lincoln Riley hot seat, is he the guy in L.A. for USC again?
But I also think that if Penn State loses this game, that Franklin gets it because of the blemishes that USC has.
Yeah.
Right? Now, to be completely fair to Lincoln Riley and USC, I do feel like Lincoln had to learn to change what his system was. He was all offense, and he was able to get away with it in the Big 12. And then after 2 years at USC of not working on tackling, not focusing on that defense, he has made the change to move to try and strengthen that defense. And so I think that USC will give him at least a little bit longer of a reach. And he did just beat LSU, who's the 11th ranked team in the country. He won that game at a neutral site, and it was a big game. If Penn State loses this game, because it does feel like a lot of the verbiage coming out of that area right now is, this is a different offense. Aller has taken a step forward with Kotelnicki as his OC. If you lose to USC, a team that it feels we can write off right now as being a playoff team, they're not going to do it. They will lose again. And a 3-loss Big Ten team doesn't get in. If Penn State loses to them, all of a sudden that narrative of James Franklin not winning the big one, I think it's even louder because they're not going to consider this USC team as qualifying for being one of the big ones, especially when you still have Ohio State and I believe Michigan on your schedule.
They don't. Then that's the thing is if you lose this one, the only game that Penn State has that is a top 25 team Ohio State. Wisconsin, which going to Camp Randall will be a tough one. Then they get Ohio State at home. They have Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland. They miss.
That's not a good schedule.
They miss Oregon. They miss, say what you want about Michigan. They miss Michigan.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing about Michigan. Michigan's not a good team right now. They're not. They're the reigning national champs, and they get a lot of credit as still being a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works. Fair or unfair, that dems the breaks. That's the way it works right now. Another, I think this is a sneaky, decent game. You got Kansas State heading to Colorado.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, yeah. Because I also get sick of Dion, the finger pointing, people propping them up to be better than they are. Right now, it seems like people are dismissing Colorado as an awful football team, and they're not an awful team.
No.
They're somewhere in the middle, but they can have a statement win here, and it truly will be the first statement win for Dion because they haven't beaten a good team.
Right. Well, and the Big 12 is not strong. Like, there is a world where the Big 12 champion is a one- or two-loss team, possibly.
Yep.
And if you start going through this Colorado schedule, if they're able to beat K-State, which a lot of people, along with Utah, had favored early in the preseason as, you know, the team that could win the Big 12, if you can get it done, all of a sudden you're 3-0 in the Big 12. Kansas State has two losses. Oklahoma State's already out of it. Utah, you have no idea what's going on with Cam Rising. Mm-hmm. They have one loss.
Well, he's supposed to play tonight. And Utah plays at Arizona State tonight, 2-4-1 teams. I hope we do see Cam Rising, but again, I've been saying this. Mm-hmm. Cam Rising is, I'm just going to assume he's dead until I actually see him play football because of the way that Kyle Whittingham has handled his injuries the last 2 years. I'm just going to assume he's not with us anymore.
There's a rumor going around.
People left and right on the show today.
I did that a couple days ago.
There's a rumor going around that it's Adam Driver, not Cam Rising. Adam Driver's acting as Cam Rising. I do have to shout out this game, though. I know not a lot of people are going to care about it, but my honeymoon gift to my brother.
I heard Buck say this the other day.
Boise State and Hawaii.
That was your honeymoon gift to your brother?
I gave him money. He bought the tickets. I was smart enough to not buy the tickets myself. One, because I didn't know that they were playing Hawaii. But two, I did not think that his lovely bride would accept that. But she did.
That's wild.
They went and golfed yesterday. They played 27 holes. She doesn't like golf. I don't know if it's her honeymoon or his.
Look, this is a great start to that marriage. It's going to come back around on him. This seems too good to be true right now.
No, there's something that I'm missing that he's going to have to do that just don't know about yet. Yeah. There's something coming down the pipeline where she wins.
Marriage is just taking losses left and right and dealing with it, all right? He's getting his wins right now.
He's 1-2.
This is quite literally the honeymoon phase. He's on his honeymoon. All right, let's get back to Oregon and Ohio State. We got an awe coming up at 2:30. Let's dive back into the Buckeyes and the Oregon Ducks. Hear what Dan Lanning had to say this morning. He went on old Pat McAfee's show. This is Danny Dusty on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, the water,
Oregon, Ohio State coming up tomorrow. Dan Lanning, he has shut himself down to the media, except for one interview remains before kickoff. Well, probably two. He's probably going to go on game day.
I wonder who that could be with.
Primetime with Asace and Souk today, 4 o'clock. Dan Lanning, head coach of the Oregon Ducks, will join Isaac and Souk. But he went on this morning with Pat McAfee, the Pat McAfee Show, and talked to a man wearing a shirt without sleeves about joining the Big Ten in this matchup with the Buckeyes.
They're one day away from the massive game against the Ohio State Buckeyes. How do you feel? How are the emotions? And how do you think Eugene, Oregon's about to be?
This is what college football is about. I'm really excited for our team, certainly excited for our fans. This is going to be a fun one.
Now, you guys are a wagon, have been for a while. First year in the Big Ten. How has that gone? Obviously, it's your first massive Big Ten test. How has the transition gone thus far, and what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, we're enjoying it. I think there's going to be a lot of great traditions that, you know, get the start from this move for us, getting to play some elite teams and get to be a part of an awesome conference.
Sounds very Dan Lanning. Sounds like he is already game mode. I feel like we're going to get some short answers from here on out from Coach Lanning.
I would expect that. I would expect a lot of short answers with different variations of coach speak.
Yeah, and I think like when he says, you know, we're going to get traditions and rivalries kind of built out of joining the Big Ten, I think that is an exciting part of conference realignment. It's a bummer that a lot of the other rivalries will go away or deteriorate over time. But the fact that the new ones that can arise out of it, it makes for a fun move for fans. And nobody knows if this is going to be a rivalry with Ohio State, because rivalries have to go both ways.
You got to win a little, got to lose a little.
Got to have a little bit of give and take, and these games got to be really close. And I expect this game to be close on Saturday. And when you have a close game, anybody that says definitively, like they have a pick on this and it's the way it's going to go, they're wrong.
Right.
They are very, 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 very wrong. And that is when you have two great teams going head to head, that is awesome. And that is why people love college football, is games like this. The environment that you will see in Eugene tomorrow, it's unlike anything you'll ever see in the NFL. You will never see anything like it in the National Football League. Doesn't matter where the games are. I don't care about when the Raiders are undefeated and you got the black hole. I don't care about Arrowhead or MetLife, any of those places. They don't compare to college football. It's something truly unique in our sports world. And these are the games that bring the best out of fans and bring the best out of the sport of college football.
I will say this from a national perspective. I do feel like this will be finally the time where Autzen and the Oregon Duck fan base kind of gets their due nationally. Now, I think around the West Coast, everyone knows that Autzen is loud and it's a hard place to go into, but you could see the attacks on Twitter. Jeff Schwartz was going back with like every Buckeye fan that is on Twitter about how great Autzen was and how it was going to be loud, and the Buckeyes fans were saying, no, it won't, and they don't seat enough people. We were, you know, 40,000 more than they have, or whatever the true number is. But I think for the first time, you're going to get a true national respect for the type of football that is played out here if Oregon can keep this close. If it's a blowout, which I don't think it will be, you're not going to get that love and that respect. If I'm an Oregon fan, though, I'm not going to be shocked if it is a low-scoring game early, and in the third quarter, you're going to kind of have to weather a storm, because that's where Chip Kelly, once he's felt out how this defense is going to play, that's where I think he goes and he takes his shots. Don't be shocked if there's an explosive or two that go against you in that quarter.
The Avalanche in the second and third quarters have been huge for Ohio State. We talked about them earlier. They've scored 63 points in the second quarter this year, 66 in the third quarter this year. That compared to 38 in the first and fourth quarter, I think they've only scored like 21 points this season. It is the Avalanche comes in the second and third quarter, and that's something that fans are familiar with Chip Kelly and his offense and the way that he operates. Another one from Dan Lanning, kind of bringing up the John Wilner stat of the week. 1 in 8 Big Ten teams are, when they have to travel over two time zones.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing for your team to be out here, you think, in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing.
Because you guys are going to have to get used to the travel, I guess. But everybody else is only doing it like once or twice a season. You guys are going to have to travel a good bit, a few times.
Yeah, a couple times. I think it's as big as you make it, right? And for us, it's the enjoyment of getting to, you know, spend that time connecting with each other. And certainly we'll make some travel trips, but we'll enjoy that, no doubt about it.
What do you think Ohio State's going to experience out here that they don't, like, kind of expect yet? What do you think the fan base, the environment's going to be?
Our fans will bring it. It'll be an awesome experience, I think, for them to be able to experience game day here at Autzen Stadium. It's unique, special in itself.
There's been a lot of buzz and, like, the fear of how many Ohio State fans are going to be in Autzen Stadium. And I've seen people like, it's going to be like 60-40 Duck fans. There's going to be a lot of Ohio State fans, don't get me wrong.
They travel well.
It will not be a 60-40 split. There's people like, oh, there's more Ohio zip codes buying season tickets than ever before. Yeah, there were a handful of Ohio State fans that bought season tickets in Eugene so they could come to this game. I think Rob Mullins said that there's 15 zip codes in Ohio that bought season tickets for Oregon football.
That rocks.
But that's 15 out of an entire stadium.
Right.
Now they are selling them, and they're smart. If that's the game you want to go to, you know it's going to be expensive. Sure, buy the season tickets and sell every other game, because right now you can just transfer them digitally.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Right? You're going to make your money back on those tickets and maybe even pay for a little bit of your travel by selling the home tickets throughout the course of the season. There will be a lot of Ohio State fans. It will not be 60-40.
Right. I think that you're going to see a raucous environment unlike any that you've ever seen in Autzen, especially if on the first drive, whether it is offense or defense for the Ducks, they get victory, right? So a victory for the defense. They stop Ohio State and make them punt. Offensively, they get points. Whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, I think that you hear that place rocking. And if you're Oregon, you have to keep this game within that one score, preferably within 3 points, so that that stadium and those fans can at least play a role in making communication difficult for the offense of Ohio State.
McAfee asking the question. Dan Lanning, known for his pregame speeches that get put into the game recaps.
Are you thinking about punching Ryan Day in the face before the game?
No. No, I'm not thinking about that. What? I'm thinking about what do I have to do for my team for us to be successful.
Gumpy asked you earlier, we saw the Colorado speech last year. This game isn't played in Hollywood. It's played on field. This ain't about clicks. It's about sports. Do you have your pregame speech ready to go already?
No, I don't know exactly yet. I got a direction. I got an idea where we're going
to
go.
I think Ohio State fans, if you listen to how A.J. Hawk has talked, has felt pretty disrespected about how the conversation has gone around this game. How do Oregon fans and the Oregon team feel about the conversation around this game?
Who cares? Like, who cares? It doesn't. We could care less about it's about playing the game, right? And we're excited about the opportunity to go play this game against an elite team. They're really talented. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we have a really good team, too.
Obviously, it's October, so we still got a lot ahead of us here. How do you put that in perspective with your team about huge game, massive game, conference game, but also not end all be all, right? I mean, that is...
It's the next game, right? It's the next game. There's a lot of season left to play. Regardless of how this game turns out, there's a lot of opportunity out there for both teams.
All right. Dan Lanning got a direction. He's got a direction. He knows where he's going to go.
He has the components
sports.
Of a plan.
It's sports. It's game, not Hollywood, sports. Sports ball game. Stick ball.
I can't wait for this game. Saturday is going to be awesome.
It is. You know what else is going to be awesome? Jeff Ross, which happens every Friday at 2:30. We'll wrap up the show with Oregon, Ohio State talk and your feedback on the Vancouver Forward text line, keys to the game and whatnots. But coming up next, America's favorite game show, first, Rust with SportsCenter. Say my Time now for America's favorite game show, Jeff Russ Friday. How you doing, sir?
Helps if I turn my mic on there, I guess, huh? Yeah, doing good. How about yourself?
I'm great.
Good.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys know there's a big football game tomorrow?
No.
Which one?
Yeah, Oregon State going to Nevada.
Mm. Ooh.
We'll get to that one next. But anyway, this weekend's Big Daddy, just about 26 hours away now. Number 2, Ohio State at number 3, Oregon, of course. 4:30 kick on NBC and Peacock. Dan Lanning, 2-3 in top 10 matchups in his stint at Oregon so far. The Ducks are 3-point dogs. So we'll just keep it straight up, though. Who you got, Oregon
or
Ohio State?
Who could you possibly have, Dusty?
Oregon. I think this would be a close game. I mean, look, you can't be definitive either way on this thing. Physicality is going to be a big, big, big factor in this game. Because you said this earlier, watching the Iowa game, Iowa's defense looks different.
They're not as good as they have been.
But one thing that Iowa can do and has done all season long, they've run the damn ball down everyone's throat, and they could not do it in the first half against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did start running the ball effectively, it was when it was too late after Ohio State put 21 on the board in the third quarter. And you cannot wait for the dam to break. You've got to break it yourself. And so I think up front is going to be the biggest test, and we'll learn a hell of a lot early with how that game's going to go.
I hope I'm wrong, but I do have Ohio State in this one. I just like what I've seen from them throughout the entire year with the factored in point of you haven't really seen Will Howard in the plus one run game, and that is what he's known for. They're going to unleash some things in this game with Will Howard and him running the football. I think it's going to be just enough. I'm just like Dusty on the fact that I think this game is close. I just think that Ohio State makes a play or two at the very end, and that's going to get them the win.
Meanwhile, I was noticing, too, going through and preparing the segment, each of the four Northwest schools, all the spreads are either 3 or 3.5 points.
Oh.
Ooh, so the Oregon State one's gone down.
Yeah. So, Oregon State headed to Reno to take on Nevada. That's a 4:30 kick on CBS Sports Network. The Beavs, 3-point favorites over the 2-4 Wolfpack. Oregon State,
yikes.
Nevada.
Beavs are dinged up. They've been going through it on the offensive line as well. I just have more faith in Oregon State. They're a really well-coached team still. I like the Beavs to win this game. Run the damn ball, pal.
I'm going to shamelessly plug myself, because if you go over to Odyssey.com/BetQL, this is one of my plays that I wrote about in my article.
Ooh. You are going to what?
Shamelessly plug myself.
All right, what did you write?
Oregon State's going to win this game because Nevada has been slightly below average stopping the run this year. Obviously, they've been worse stopping the pass, but they've also played a bunch of air raid offenses. I think that Oregon State, being one of the first teams that they played that just wants to run the football, right now they're the sixth best in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they are going to run the football down their throat. And to quote my own self, they're 4-1 on the year, and they're going to stick to what they do well. Run the ball.
Run the ball.
Alrighty. Oh, boy. Our neighbors to the north, the Washington Huskies, headed east to Iowa City to face the Hawkeyes. That's a big nooner on Fox. 9 a.m. kick here on the Best Coast. Huskies, 3-point dogs. Washington
or
Iowa.
I don't like this spot for Washington right now. Coming off a physical, emotional win, and then you got to go to Iowa City and play at 9 a.m. Like, the 9 a.m. kick,
rough.
That's different.
Rough.
That is different. I heard Ryan Day saying that Ohio State's going to stay on East Coast time, 7:30 kick out here. You can't stay on Pacific time.
No.
Because you're getting up.
3 a.m.?
Yeah, 4:30 maybe, if you want to let them sleep in.
So but then you don't get breakfast.
Everything that they did following that Michigan win had to be on, well, Central, but East Coast time essentially for that big noon kick in preparing for this game, because you cannot just get used to it overnight. You can't just say, yeah, we're going to stay on Pacific time. No, that I don't like that spot for Washington, even though I think they're a better team than Iowa.
I think Iowa gets this one done because I don't think that Washington can do what Ohio State did, and that's stop Caleb Johnson. He is the second best running back in college football right now, and he would be the best running back if it wasn't for Ashton Jeanty. I think that he's going to run all over them. He went up against Iowa State, who has one of the better defenses in the country, and he ran all over them in the first half. Once they had success, it was because they were able to slow him down a little bit in the second half, and that's why the Cyclones came back and ended up winning the Cyhawk. I think that he runs the ball down Washington's throat, beats him up in another physical game, and they win this one.
Can't allow 4 yards per carry against this team.
I think there's a chance he gets 5.
Can't do it.
Rounding out the Northwest institutions of higher learning, well, and Washington State. I'm wow. sorry.
Central Washington's in there?
I don't mean that. I joke. Washington State also hits the road to face Fresno State, 4 o'clock, FS1. The Cougs, 3.5-point favorites. Washington State
or
Fresno State.
I like the Cougars in this one, simply just because I feel like they have more guys that can make big plays. Like, Fresno State is a quality Mountain West team. But I also feel like Mateer, just whenever they need a big moment, a big play, he comes up and makes it. Aside from your loss to Boise State, where you did get run out of the building. Aside from that, you've played some pretty decent teams. UW is a good team. They've beat good Big Ten teams. And then Texas Tech, they're a good team in the Big 12. They have a shot, a small one, but a shot at winning that conference. And you were able to beat them in a crazy one at home. I'm going to go with the Cougars just because I think they can make enough big plays at that quarterback spot.
I don't think the line's big enough. Cougs by 3, it should be more. It should be more than 3 points in this game because Fresno State is going through it a little bit. When they play bad teams, they win. They've played Sac State, New Mexico State, and New Mexico. New Mexico's god-awful. And they won that game 38-21. They've played two decent to good teams in Michigan and UNLV and got waxed by both of them. Give me the Cougs in this one. Mateer, baby.
All right. Well, we're kind of getting up against it here, so we got to go.
You're against it. All right. We wrap the show up with a little Oregon, Ohio State talk. The Ducks and the Buckeyes. Keys to the game, then we'll hand you off to primetime. This is Danny Dusty on The Fan. Well, Rust forced his, our picks on us in the last segment there. The ore really put me in a pickle, a brain pickle there.
Oh, is that what you had planned for here?
No. Yeah. No, it was good, but I mean, there's a lot of keys to this game that I'm really interested to see how this game plays out with Oregon and Ohio State.
It's like a janitor's keychain. So many keys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is. There is. And I mean, we talked about this earlier in the week. You know, the punitive penalties that Oregon has had go against them through the struggles early. They have cleaned that up in large order. But at the same time, that's in games like this where the margins are so thin, that matters. Penalties, turnovers, the little things that people nitpick in wins that are one-sided and games that, you know, you put in cruise control. Those are really the big factors in games like
right.
this. And that is going to be really interesting to me because looking at Ohio State's opponents have the fewest penalties called against them in all of college football by a large margin. That's a weird stat to have kind of in there. And I think that's kind of life in the Big Ten is that the officials swallow the whistle. And they don't, they take themselves out of these conversations when it comes time to, all right, we're going to let these two teams settle it on the field. So I'm bracing myself for fans to just be bitching about calls that did not go their way or weren't called. And that's going to be in large part such an afterthought to how this game is dictated though.
Right. I actually love the official swallowing their whistle in a big game like this. Like, let it be decided on the field. And the most important thing in a game like this is just be consistent.
Get it right. Be consistent.
If you're a fan and you're blaming the refs, though, then you're not looking at the deeper issue for whichever team loses.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Ohio State or Oregon, there are going to be opportunities for both teams if this game is as close as we all think it's going to be. Both teams are going to have opportunities to win this game. Now, it sounds stupid, and no doubt will, but the team that takes advantage of those will win. The team that does not or takes advantage of the least amount, they are going to have something to complain about. And that fan base is probably going to attack their coach. They're going to have to hear, you can't win the big one. Maybe this team isn't as strong as everyone thought. Maybe that team isn't as strong as everyone thought. The craziest part about all this with the new 12-team playoff format, we might get this game twice.
Might get it twice. Might get it three times.
Right.
You could see this game three times. The trench is going to be fascinating to me. Can Oregon run the football against Ohio State? Iowa runs the ball almost better than anybody else in the country. They had 18 yards of rushing in the first half against this Ohio State team. Now, Iowa, far more one-dimensional than Oregon is.
Right.
But the back end of Ohio State's defense has three NFL dudes in it.
Yeah.
I mean, Burke, Ransom, and Downs, those guys are legit Sunday players.
Mm-hmm.
There is more balance in Oregon. There, and I'm not saying to Ohio State, more balance in Oregon than Iowa or anybody else that Ohio State has played this year.
Right.
And the physicality up front is going to determine this game for me a ton. On both lines of scrimmage, you have the Birch rumor out there, the injury rumor. That's going to be a massive factor in this game. Also, the offense. If the offense can't run the ball early, it will be a long day for Oregon.
Right.
You've got to be able to run the damn ball against Ohio State and have balance to your offense.
I don't know if Oregon can do this, but if they can make it a Will Howard game for Ohio State, if they can shut down or at least slow down to the point where Ohio State has to put the ball in Will Howard's hands more than their running backs, I think Oregon can and will win this game. Now, the question is, do you have the D-line that's going to be able to get after them and make plays in the backfield? Because they're going to have to make tackles for a loss, and you can't let that ball get to the linebackers or, even worse, the safeties.
It's going to be an incredible environment down at Autzen Stadium. We'll have you covered all day long tomorrow right here on the Fan or Pregame Show with Anthony Newman. Dirt and I starts at noon. I'll be on the sidelines at the 4:30 kick from Eugene. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Soup. Thanks, Will Ortner, for filling in.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, as always, Rust. We'll see you Monday from noon to 3 right here on the Fan.
I'm going to shamelessly plug myself. I don't suck. Well, I suck less than he does.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.